Two of the most significant events in the lives of nearly every human being who ever lived are the arrival of a new human and the departure of another. And there's a time for each. You'll recognize the passage out of Ecclesiastes that says there's a time to be born and a time to die. We look forward to the arrival of a new child or a grandchild, don't we? It brings tremendous joy into our lives and tremendous joy into our families. However, on the other end of the spectrum, as a society, for many, we do everything we can to avoid death. It's something that no one really looks forward to. When I was getting ready for this talk, I found this article, and I just have to share a couple of things with you. It kind of cracked me up. Here's the title of the article: "The Crazy Lengths We'll Go to Cheat Death." There are some things that people are doing to try to avoid this idea of death. Death on the whole doesn't sound like much fun, does it? People try to figure out ways to extend their life and cheat death. A couple things they're trying to do, right? Don't live anywhere where it's violent. You might get killed. Okay, it's probably good advice. Eat right. Maybe upload your brain to a computer. That's kind of crazy. Maybe become a vampire. When they say that, they're talking about getting regular infusions of blood from young people. That's kind of crazy. Freeze yourself, cryogenic, freeze yourself, you know, avoid death. And here's my least favorite idea. I think it's probably going to be your least favorite also. One proven way for a man to live around 14 years longer on average is to become a eunuch. Let's not. It's a crazy idea. That is crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. It's a little bit creepy also, I think, isn't it? People in their desperation are looking for hope. Unfortunately, they're looking for hope in the hopeless, and they're not finding it, are they? We know about 55 million people die every year, don't they? 150,000 people every day are dying and leaving this world. One thing we do know is death comes for everyone, doesn't it? And that's going to be the way it is until Jesus returns. Death will come for everyone. Turn with me in your Bibles or look on your device or your phone this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be talking about death. 1 Corinthians 15. Let me start reading to you in verse 1 and then we'll read through verse 5. Are you ready? This is Paul writing to the people in Corinth there. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand." Remember, the beginning of last year, we set our theme for 2024, and it was to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Paul's reminding these people to stand firm in the faith. Verse 2, "by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Verse 3. "For I delivered to you of first importance." That's the title of my talk this morning, of first importance. This thing Paul told these people was the most important thing that he wanted them to know and the most important thing he wanted them to remember, of first importance. "What I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. You know, we probably have heard this passage from a pastor or a priest or a preacher last Sunday, Easter Sunday, or on Resurrection Sunday. We talked about these things. On Easter, they talked about the glorious resurrection of Christ, the life-giving resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm not going to talk about what has been talked about the last couple weeks. I'm going to talk about something different to you. We'll take a little different spin on this. We're going to talk about the first two words of the gospel. The first two words of the gospel only this morning, and they are, "Jesus died." That's what Paul wrote here. He said, this is of first importance. Verse 3 again, "of first importance, what I received, that Christ died." The message of Paul determined to be of first importance, and let's listen to it from the New Literal Translation. He says, "I passed on to you what was most important." This is that thing, this nugget that Paul wanted us to hear and to hang on to. Christ died. I think people don't want to talk about death, do they? We don't want to have conversations about death. People try to avoid it, and so it's seldom talked about until death is imminent. Then the conversation has to be had, doesn't it? Well, people fear death because, as one man said, in the dark hours of the night, they do think about it. They're forced to think about it. And you know what happens? For many, it scares them because they don't know what lies ahead. They don't know what's next. And so the fear of the unknown is a very real thing for many people in this world. But when it comes to death, when it comes to talking about death, we have spectacular news, don't we? We have a whole different conversation about death than most of the world has. So I think as a Christian leader, and that's who I'm talking to, you Christian leaders, you have a hopeful message that few have. As a matter of fact, almost no one has. Let me tell you what I mean. Muslims don't have a hopeful message, do they? They don't have a message about death that brings hope. They're hoping that they did enough good in their life to balance out the bad they did in their life, when the scale that they live by, to enter into paradise when they die. Hindus don't have a hopeful message. Maybe they'll come back as a cat or a rat. They don't know. What about Jews? Jews have a very conflicted message about death and what is next. Obviously not believing in the Messiah. What about atheists? Do they have a hopeful message about death? They have no idea what comes next. And so the world would rather not talk about death, or maybe just try to run away from it and hide from it until it becomes a reality, as if they were able to hide from it. But you, as I said, you men, have a phenomenal message about the good news. Good news about death for all people who will one day face it. So here it is. Jesus dealt with death. Jesus dealt with death. The grand central truth of the gospel is that God sent his Son into the world to die and to be raised back to life. To overcome the problem of death, when we look around the world, people see death as a problem, don't they? It's like, well, what am I going to do? I don't understand how to handle this. But Jesus came to overcome the problem of death. So what did he do is the question I want to answer and talk about right now. This is what Jesus did. He changed death forever. Maybe some of you have heard of the book, The Death of Death, in the Death of Jesus Christ by John Owen, 1648. He wrote this book about the death of death, what Jesus did in coming and dying to end death as the world sees it. The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. You may want to spend some time there. I think you'll be glad that you did. So the great central theme is that God sent his Son to die and to come back to life to overcome this problem of death. So what did he do? He changed death forever. He changed it in three different ways. And so that's where we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning. The three of the many ways, actually, that Christ changed death. Number one, he changed death from an experience of grieving without hope to an experience of grieving with hope. Many in this world die and there's no hope and they grieve. But for those who are in Christ, there's a different reaction to death, isn't there? There's joy and hope in death, looking forward to what is to come. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says this, "But we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." See, Paul wanted the people to understand that there's hope in death. Not as the people in the world who grieve. Let me tell you, I've had the opportunity to be a part of a lot of funerals, either preaching them or being a part of them, and there is a distinct difference between those who have hope and those who have no hope. And I think you've experienced that yourself, haven't you? Oh, I've been in funerals where people are weeping and wailing and, what does the Bible say, gnashing their teeth. There's no hope. They're in despair, and I've been a part of other going home services where people are just filled with joy because they know their loved one is going into paradise. Why is it that we can grieve with hope? That brings us to the second point I have for you this morning. Here it is. Christ changed death from the beginning of perdition to the beginning of paradise. From the beginning of punishment to the beginning of reward. I want to read Luke 16, 22 and 24 to you this morning. Now the poor, this is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. You'll recognize it. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. In torment. And saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip his tip of his finger into the water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. It's an example of a man who has no hope and steps into what? Perdition. Perdition. I want you to juxtapose that against what happened with a thief on the cross next to Jesus. Today you will be with me in what? Paradise. A very different experience. One who stepped into perdition and another who stepped into paradise. Two very different experiences. One beginning in hell and the other beginning in paradise. What did Jesus do? He died to turn death from the beginning of hell to the beginning of paradise. And number three, death means eternal life. Death for those who are in Christ. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. What is he saying? For those who believe in the Son, those who have had faith to believe, this gift given to men, which is what Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, by faith, which is a gift, you believe, he is the one who is saved. He is the one who steps into paradise. For that man who does not believe, the wrath of God is on him. What does that mean? That man steps into perdition or punishment. So, men, as Christian leaders, you have something that the vast majority of the world does not have. You have in you spectacular news. Spectacular news about death. Like the apex of Christ's life and ministry is that he died. What did Paul say? This is of first importance, the first two words, Jesus died. We're not discounting the fact that he rose again to life. We talked about that Resurrection Sunday. And so we'll not talk about it again. But this is significant, isn't it? That he died. And when he died, he changed everything about death. In the beginning of my talk, I said the two most significant things in life are the arrival of a new human being and the departure of a human being. And so everyone faces death. And so for leaders like us, we must be prepared to talk about death. It's a subject that we should not shy away from. I think we should talk about death early and often. We should talk about it all the time because we want people in this world to understand that there are two alternatives, either stepping into perdition or stepping into paradise. Two views on death. And we have the best view, don't we, man? We have something that people need to know about, that there's no fear in death. There's hope in life, and that's what we want to share with these people. So why should we as leaders be prepared to talk about death? Because death brought hope to death and grieving. His death brought hope to death and grieving. Why should we talk about it? He changed death from the beginning of hell to the beginning of paradise. Why should we be prepared to talk about it? Because death, for those who believe, is the beginning of eternal life with him. That is why we should talk about death. The death of death, as John Owen said. And as Paul reminds us, this discussion is of first what, Ben? First importance. That's right. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for the way that you have recorded the most important things in Scripture for us to be taught, know, and do. So, Father, we need to be prepared as leaders, to talk to people about death and give them the hope that they need in this world. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus our Christ, in whom we believe. Amen. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning. Amen.